Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal, invites you to rocket into the future with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
Stand by to raise ship. Blast off minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
As roaring rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. In a small concrete structure carefully isolated from the other buildings on the campus of Space Academy, the Polaris unit attends its daily lecture, Astrophysics. Wearing protective coveralls and gloves, the three cadets stand attentively around a large laboratory table as young, attractive Dr. Joan Dale, one of the leading Academy physicists, indicates a sample specimen of ore in a small lead-lined case.
This ore, cadets, is extremely rare. It's only found in any appreciable quantity on two asteroids in the asteroid belt, 2046 and 2049. This sample came from our mining camp on 2049.
Is this ore good for anything, Dr. Dale?
Well, we're not sure yet, Cadet Corbett. It's still in its testing stage. So far, we found it has a small degree of radioactivity.
Hey, then maybe it could be used as a fuel for rocket ships.
Perhaps, but certainly not in its present state, Cadet Astro. It would take several tons of ore to reach a critical mass strong enough to produce power and usable energy. Now, any more questions? All right, then. We'll proceed with your test assignment. Do you understand what you're to do?
Yes, ma'am. Analyze this specimen, giving content and volume of every element included.
And measure the energy potential.
Right. Use reaction chamber 2. Number 1 hasn't been cleaned since the last experiment.
Yes, ma'am.
You'll have 15 minutes, cadets. Work fast, but be as thorough as you can. Oh, be sure to keep your gloves on when you handle the ore sample. And don't forget to use the Geiger counter. I'll be back in exactly 15 minutes.
Oh, brother, this is what I call a real dog detail, playing around with a crummy hunk of rock.
We'll get a real dog rating if we don't finish this experiment in time, Roger.
Yeah, hotshot. Get that reaction chamber heated up.
Okay.
Astro, you take this piece of ore and start analyzing it. Roger and I'll handle the reaction chamber.
Check.
Okay, Tom, chamber's ready.
Now, hand me a container.
Here. Okay, open the lock.
Shove it in. Closer. Oh, and don't forget the Geiger counter.
Sure. What do you think I am, a primary student?
If you study hard enough, you might make it, Roger.
That's enough out of you, Rocket Head. Okay, counter's on.
How you doing, Astro? Well,
this won't take long, Tom. We ought to finish the experiment in plenty of time.
Yeah, if you don't mess it up.
Me? Why, you overblown bag of space.
Hey, wait a minute, fellas. The Geiger counter. Listen to it. Great jumping.
Jupiter, it's going crazy.
I don't get it. Dr. Dale said it would take tons of the stuff to reach critical mass. That hunk we put in the reaction chamber is no bigger than my fist.
Hey, wait a minute. You put it in chamber 1.
Well, sure.
You big jerk. Dr. Dale said to use chamber 2. Number 1 wasn't cleaned out.
So the ore is combining with whatever was left in there.
Well, quick, we've got to stop it.
Too late. Don't go near it, Tom. There's a baby A-bomb cooking up in
there. Well, let's get out of here.
Come on, Tom. She'll blow any second.
Hit that outer door. Quick, Astro.
Right.
Go on, fellas. Outside. Now hit the deck fast! She's gonna blow!
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment, so stand by.
Spaceman, one of the most interesting places here at Space Academy is the Spaceport Communication Center. Now, today we're going in there for a look around and see just how they operate. Here we are, spaceman. You know, this communication center is in operation 24 hours a day, keeping a check on all space traffic and land-to-space communication. Now, come into this room. Okay. Well, now, here's a telerecorder. Dr. Dale recorded a message to be sent to all boys and girls in all planet colonies. I'll play it for you.
Here's an important reminder to all spacemen and space girls, too. Be sure you're getting enough vitamins. Eat the right foods that give you those vitamins. At breakfast, you can get the whole day supply of vitamin D and a valuable amount of vitamin B1 by eating Kellogg's Pep. And when you eat Pep, you're giving yourself the kind of food values that help you do things better. That goes for play, school, work, and sports. So remember, for a good supply of important vitamins and a really enjoyable way to start this day, help yourself to Kellogg's Pep. End transmission.
Well, spacemen, you learned two important things today. You learned about communications, and you heard about the best breakfast cereal in the universe. So don't forget now, ask Mom for Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
Conducting a routine experiment in the physics laboratory, Roger makes a careless mistake and an explosion results. A blast that wrecks the interior of the lab. But the cadets manage to escape unhurt. Now, an hour later, we find them being interrogated by Dr. Dale in her office.
Well, cadet, you certainly succeeded in making a complicated mess out of a simple experiment.
Oh, we're awfully sorry, ma'am, but...
Knock it off, Tom. This is my party.
Huh?
It's... Well, it's my fault, Dr. Dale. I put the ore sample in the wrong reaction chamber.
Oh, you did it. I might have known. Well, Cadet Manning, I don't know whether to laud you for it or recommend you for a medal.
Huh?
Your mistake has opened the way for entirely new experiments in freeing the energy potential of the ore. It was a combination of that sample with the residue of a previous experiment that produced the reaction.
Then you think the ore can be used as a fuel?
If we can find the right combination of materials to go with it. Cadet Manning, you're detached from duty with the Polaris unit.
But, Dr. Dale...
I'm going to asteroid 2049 to conduct further experiments with this ore, and I'll need an astrogator and an assistant. You can consider this assignment your reward for your mistake or your punishment.
Oh, brother, this is a reward.
Well, I hope you'll think so after we've finished. Be ready to blast off in Rocket Scout 9J in 1 hour.
By the rings of Saturn. I never thought I'd say this, Tom, but I'm beginning to miss Roger.
Well, strangely enough, I feel the same way, Astro.
Funny. And I thought a few days without him would be a real vacation. I wonder when he'll be back.
I wonder if we'll be here when he gets back. Captain Strong sounded kind of excited when he called us.
You think he's got a special assignment for us?
We'll find out in a minute. Here's his office. Cadets Corbett and Astro reporting, sir.
Easy, cadets. Be with you in a second. All right, Courtney. Now, give me the rest of those figures on the course of the 9J.
Uh-huh. 9J? Tom, wasn't that the rocket scout Dr. Dale used to go to asteroid 2049?
Yes, I wonder what's up.
Great galaxy. I hope nothing's wrong.
All right, got it, Courtney. But if there's any further word from Mason on the asteroid, let me know.
Captain Strong, is there anything wrong? I mean, well, we couldn't help overhearing you mention the 9J. And we know Roger and Dr. Dale used that ship.
I'm sorry to have to break it to you like this, boys, but the 9J is missing.
Missing?
But how could...
We don't know yet. We've tracked the scout as far as the asteroid belt, right to number 2049, as a matter of fact. But Greg Mason, the chief engineer of the mining station there, said they never arrived.
Did any of our space stations pick up a distress call?
No, nothing but routine position reports. Apparently, everything was going smoothly until the scout entered the asteroid belt.
Then what happened to them?
That's what we're going to find out. Prepare the Polaris for immediate blastoff. We're going to search for the 9J, and we're starting at asteroid 2049.
Lower deck to control deck. All braking rockets firing, sir.
All right, Astro. Stand by for landing.
We got a good view of the asteroid from up here, Captain Strong.
And we'll set the ship down close to the mining camp, Tom.
I've got the spot all picked out, sir.
The control deck to power deck. Braking rockets, 1/4.
Aye, sir. Braking rockets, 1/4.
The gravitational pull of this asteroid is only 0.006. Now, we can touch down without any further braking.
Altitude, 1,000 feet, sir.
Stand by for touchdown.
Aye, sir.
Power deck, cut rockets.
Here we go, sir. Touchdown!
We're in. All right, boys. Secure ship. First, we'll have a talk with Mason, and then start tracking the 9J.
K,
Captain Strong, do you mean to tell me the 9J is still unreported?
We haven't heard a word from them, Mason. We checked Dr. Dale's course, and it appears she came straight here.
I don't understand it. We've seen no sign of her or the ship.
Are you sure your radar is in good working order?
Of course. We picked up your ship an hour ago. I'm positive the rocket scout couldn't have come within 1,000 miles of us. Have you tried to raise them on your teleceiver?
Oh, at least 100 times.
Well, I'm afraid it's only too obvious what's happened, Captain Strong.
You mean you think the scout was hit by a meteorite?
Well, this part of space is full of them. One slight defect in the ship's radar gear or a miscalculation by the astrogator and, well, there wouldn't be much left.
Maybe you're right, Mason. But we won't assume anything until we're sure.
But what can you do, Strong?
Search this entire area.
But that would be like looking for a speck of meteor dust in the Milky Way. It would take weeks, months.
I don't care how long it takes. We're going to keep at it until we find some sign of that ship. Anything on the radar screen yet, Tom?
I'm afraid not, Captain Strong. Not since we made contact with that swarm of meteorites.
Oh, it's beginning to look hopeless, Tom. We've covered an immense area. If the rocket scout hit anything while they were on course, we'd have found at least a trace of wreckage by this time.
Wait, sir. I'm picking up something on the radar again.
Probably some more meteorites.
No. We're getting a fix on a sizable mass. This could be it, sir.
Well, how big is the mass?
I'm checking now, sir. About the size of a rocket scout. We found her. And look at my screen. The signal is getting in clearer now.
I'll plot an orbit to intercept her. We should be able to overhaul her within an hour.
I'll try to raise them on the audio, sir.
Right. Hello, radar bridge to power deck. Check in.
Power deck, aye.
We're changing course, Astro. I want you to stand by for maximum velocity.
Right, sir. I'll give you all the speed you want. Have you found something?
I hope so. At least it checks for mass with the scout. So get to work now. Hit those rockets.
Radar bridge to control deck. We're closing in on the scout, Captain Strong, almost within visual range.
Good. Cut off the radar and turn on the forward scanner. Leave it to me down here.
Aye, aye, sir. There she is, sir. It's the 9J, all right.
No sign of damage to the ship.
No, sir. She seems to be holding course under full control.
Try audio contact now.
Aye, sir. Polaris calling rocket scout 9J. Polaris calling rocket scout 9J. Acknowledge. Can you read us? Acknowledge, 9J. This is the Polaris. Blast it. Hello, Captain Strong. Still no answer.
All right. Secure the radar bridge and report to the main airlock in full space gear. I want you and Astro to board that ship.
Okay, Tom. We're aboard the rocket scout. What now?
Well, first, let's take these helmets off. Air pressure and oxygen level in here is okay. I just checked.
Right.
That's better.
Tom, this ship is quiet as a grave. What could be wrong?
Hello, Tom. Check in.
Hold it, Astro. Skipper's calling us on our communicators. Go ahead, Captain Strong.
How are you doing?
Well, just got aboard, sir.
Any sign of Dr. Dale or Roger?
Not yet, sir. Astro and I are just starting to look around.
Right. Check the radar bridge first and keep your communicators open. Maintain contact with me.
Right, sir. Okay, Astro, let's go.
Jumping Jupiter. There's something about this ship that makes my flesh crawl.
Stow it, Astro. Get up that ladder.
Nobody up here on the radar bridge, Tom.
Okay, come on down. We'll check the controls.
Everything's in order. Set on automatic course.
Hey, this is strange.
Find something, Tom?
No, nothing. That's just it. The logbook is supposed to be in this desk drawer, and it isn't here.
Maybe they abandoned ship and took the log with them.
Well, come on. Let's have a look in the spacesuit locker.
Well, there it is, over there.
Well, go on. Open it up.
Hey, look, Tom.
Why, their spacesuits are still in the locker. This is Dr. Dale's, and here's Roger.
And here's the emergency suit.
Boys, did I hear you right? They couldn't abandon ship without their spacesuits.
I know it, Captain Strong. That's just what we're trying to figure out.
Well, go on with the search. Take your time. Do a thorough job. Joan and Roger must still be aboard.
We'll try below, sir. We may find something on the power deck.
Go ahead down, Tom.
Oh, there's certainly no sign of a fight anywhere. Everything is in ship-shape order.
Yeah. That's what makes it so creepy.
Hey, there's the weapons locker, Astro. Let's check that.
Good idea.
Well, I give up.
There's not a thing missing.
Well, that means the ship couldn't have been attacked.
If it was, Roger certainly would have reached the weapons, at least.
Well, I'll take a look at the power unit, Tom.
Right.
Hello, Tom. Can't you find anything at all to indicate what happened?
Well, no, Captain Strong. The ship's in perfect running order, holding a preset orbit. Everything's routine, except for the fact that Roger and Dr. Dale are missing. Just a minute, sir. I think Astro's found something.
Tom, the reactor pile. Somebody's removed the damping rod.
What?
It's too late to replace them. The rocket head temperatures are way over the danger mark. This ship is going to explode.
Are you sure, Astro?
Suffering Martian mice. Of course I'm sure. We've got to get off this death heap fast.
Well, come on, then.
Step on it, boys. Use the emergency airlock.
That's where we're headed, sir.
Here we are.
Okay, Astro, now. Put your helmet on and get that outer door open quick. I'll equalize pressure.
Never mind the pressure. There's only a 14-pound difference. We can stand that. Help me pull the door open.
I'll try it. Come on up. Put your helmet on.
Okay.
Hey, this isn't going to be easy. It shouldn't be that hard. Let me get at it. Well, come on. Hey, there's something wrong here. I'll say the door's jammed.
It can't be pulled.
No use. It won't budge. We're trapped in here, Astro. Astro, try the emergency release.
I'm trying it, sir, but it's no good.
Captain Strong, cast off with the Polaris, sir. Hurry.
Oh, I'll try to reach you from the outside.
It's no use, sir. It's the inside lock that's jammed.
Please, sir, get the Polaris out of here. This ship is doomed. In a minute, we'll be blown to space dust.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment, so stand by.
Say, spaceman, have you got your share of magic eyes yet? Well, if you haven't, you'd better get going. Your magic eye is waiting for you right this minute down at the grocery store inside every package of Kellogg's Pep. Now, on those magic eyes, you can see Bill Holden and Bob Hope of Paramount Pictures, sports stars like Bobby Riggs, and circus greats like Clyde Beatty, the Lion Tamer. And listen, every magic eye picture shows you plenty of action. 16 different action subjects. Collect them all. You know, it's easy to get magic eyes. Nothing to mail in and no waiting because you get a magic eye free at no extra cost in every package of Kellogg's Pep. Now think of it. Just get a package of Kellogg's Pep and you get a magic eye at the same time. Be the first in your neighborhood to collect all 16 magic eyes. If you get two of a kind, trade for one you haven't got. But just remember, you keep adding to your collection every time you get Kellogg's Pep. You get loads of swell eating, too, because those golden whole wheat flakes make the best-tasting cereal you ever had. Just remember now, ask Mom to buy Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
When the crew of the Polaris locates the rocket scout 9J in which Dr. Dale and Roger Manning have been missing in space, they find it completely deserted. During their search, Tom and Astro discover the damping rods missing from the atomic reactor motors and realize the ship will explode any minute. In a desperate race against death, they try to reach the safety of the Polaris, but they are trapped in the airlock of the rocket scout by a jammed door. On the Polaris, Captain Strong hears Tom's report.
All right, men, listen. I'll move the ship off about 1,000 yards. That should be far enough to escape the blast. When you can get out, push yourselves off into space and I'll pick you up. Is that clear?
Yes, sir, but so far we're not having any luck forcing this door.
What about the emergency toolkit?
Why, that would be in one of the desk lockers, I suppose. But we never have time to get back.
Tom, listen. That model ship has a small tool compartment in the inside bulkhead of the airlock. And there's sure to be a cutting torch in the kit.
Did you hear that, Astro?
Yes, I'll look for it.
If the torch is there, you should be able to cut around that catch lock in a matter of seconds.
Skipper was right, Tom. Here's the torch.
I'll fire it up. Quick. Here we go.
Stand away from that lock, Tom.
Work fast, Astro.
He's doing fine, Captain. Hey, Tom, the catch is beginning to give.
A little more to the left now.
Oh, that did it. Pull the door open now.
Right. Captain Strong, did you hear that? We're shoving off into space. Stand by to pick us up.
Get moving. I'm ready.
All right, Astro. The door's open. Now shove off into space as hard as you can push.
Here goes.
Take it easy, Tom.
Captain Strong, what happened? The explosion.
You're all right, Tom.
So is Astro. You cleared the ship just as she exploded. The blast hurled you both out into space like a couple of rockets. I had to use radar to find you.
Well, the force of the blast must have knocked us out. Gosh, I'm still a little dizzy.
You'll be all right now, Tom. How are you making out, Astro?
Oh, fine, sir. I must have been a little farther from the ship when she blew.
Well, thank the universe you were both far enough.
But, sir, we're no closer to a solution to this mystery than we were before.
You're sure there wasn't a single clue on that ship to indicate what could have happened to Joan and Roger?
No, sir. Nothing at all. You should have seen it. Captain Strong, it was weird.
Enough to give you the creeps, sir. A completely deserted ship and yet no signs of a fight or anything.
Well, they couldn't have gotten off alive without their spacesuits.
Hey, did you leave the radio open, sir? That sounds like some kind of static or interference.
That's funny. There shouldn't be any static in this area.
Well, I'll check it, sir. Hello? Hello, this is the Polaris. Hello? Come in, please.
Polaris?
Listen, that sounds like Joan.
Dr. Dale, is that you? This is Tom Corbett on the Polaris.
Tom, can you meet me?
Well, just barely. Can't you step up power?
No, listen carefully.
Joan, this is Steve. Are you all right?
Yes, Steve, so far, but listen.
Go ahead, Dr. Dale.
Roger and I are on asteroid 2. Can you hear that?
Yes, on 2049. Go ahead.
We're in danger, great danger. Get here as quickly as you can.
Hey, she stopped transmitting.
Yeah, but did you hear what she said, sir?
I heard it. Man your stations, cadets. Set course full space speed for asteroid 2049.
Don't miss the next action-packed adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Thursday, when the crew of the Polaris attempts a dangerous rescue in space in part two of The Asteroid of Danger. Tune in same time, same station on Thursday for the next thrilling interplanetary adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Brought to you by Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, starring Frankie Thomas, can also be seen on television and appears in the comic sections of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Featured in the cast were Al Markham, Jan Merlin, Edward Bryce, and Margaret Garland. Today's program was written by Gilbert Braun and directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret. Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
And what a secret! In Kellogg's Raisin Bran, the tasty raisins are dipped in honeycomb. That means plumper, more tender raisins, along with delicious golden crisp bran flakes. Both fruit and cereal all in one box. And no other raisin bran but Kellogg's gives you the tender goodness of raisins dipped in honeycomb. That's Kellogg's secret. So for your breakfast, make sure you get Kellogg's, because
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.